Hi, this is Sean Benson from Harvest Church in Warrensburg, Missouri. I want to thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. For more resources, log on to harvestwarrensburg.com.
So I am continuing on with our series, and today we're going to talk a little bit about trust in the Lord. And I was telling First Service that the Lord decided that I had to practice it before he would let me speak on it, which means that while I was preparing for my message this week, he didn't talk to me about it. He gave me the ideas. Like, there was like two like very light words. So trust and then independence were the two words he gave me. And then he literally didn't give me anything else for like the entire week, which was fun. And so, yeah, I was telling First Service just the, you know, the process of this is I'm teaching on trust, and I'm sitting there like the last day of our work. You know, I'm in the office and I'm finishing up, and there was like 30 minutes left of my day. And after my work day, I go and we pick up our children, and I have a 6-year-old who doesn't stop talking. And so, ever, until we put him to bed. And so it was one of those moments where I knew that, like, I had 30 minutes left before I literally couldn't find the voice of the Lord anymore because it was drowned out by the constant, mom, 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 mom. And so Sean was like, are you about done? And I was like, I'm typing away. So I was hearing some stuff. And then on Friday, I ended up working on my house cleaning day. And so I was trying to get some stuff. And I just was sitting there listening to the Lord. And I'm like, God, I'm not hearing you. Like, I'm not. Like, I can feel that your presence is with me. I can feel that you have a word for me. You're just not telling me what it is. And so I was sitting there, and I was like, and he literally kind of was like, it's on trust. And I'm like, I can't just say we need to trust God. Like, everybody knows that. And anyway, on Friday, he gave me a couple more pieces. And then I ended up waking up early at 6:30 in the morning on Saturday, my one day to sleep in. I'm wide awake. Yeah, bless the Lord. I'm wide awake. And I'm laying in bed going, and the Holy Spirit's like, now you should get up and go work on your message before anybody wakes up. I was like, okay, I would have liked to have been sleeping with everybody else. So I did, and the Lord gave me some more. And then this morning, he gave me a few more pieces and kind of gift wrapped it for me, I guess. So it was one of those weeks, you know, I think I succeeded in trusting him, but it was one of those things where like his normal system, my system that I usually go through for just listening to the Lord and hearing and bringing a message got messed up, and I had to step into this thing called trust and practice it before I could bring it to preach it. So there you go. That's what God does, right? Okay, so we're still talking about an orphan mindset, and we're going to be talking about this for a season, all right? And last week, we talked about God living in us, right? So we don't have to get really, really loud to get his attention. We don't have to be really, really perfect to get his attention. We don't have to do something to get him to pay attention to us because he's right here. He lives in me, with me. He says in the Bible that he becomes one with us. So he is literally right here at all times. I don't have to search for him. I don't have to try to find him because he's right here. If I know him and I have brought him into my heart, he lives with me and he doesn't leave me or forsake me. Okay? So I don't have to get loud to try to find him. I don't have to try to beg to get into his attention. I don't have to, you know, Esther had to be invited into the king's presence. You know, I don't have to be invited into his presence because I'm his child. I always have the right to be in his presence. We were talking to a pastor recently. I can't remember who it was, but he had just said one of his core, maybe I was reading a book, I don't know, but one of his core values was that his children always had his attention, even in the middle of his message. If they sent him a message, he would stop, and he would stop preaching to read his text message and to respond to his child, because he always wanted them to know they were always welcome in his presence. That's who God is for us. He's always right here. Now I'm going to take this another step further, because while we understand that God's right here, and we understand that trust is a part of the kingdom, and to some degree, as believers, we have trusted him with our salvation, what happens then is there's this little divide that happens, though, where we don't always trust him with the things of our life. And so I want to kind of just talk about that a little bit. I'm trying to figure out like how to word this. Oh, let me just start with this. I'll just go this direction. I have a question on here. Can I trust God or do I have to rely on myself? Now, we know that we can trust God. You know, Proverbs 5:3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, we're to acknowledge God and he's going to direct our path. So we understand that there are so many, and there are so many different verses in the Bible that talk to us trusting the Lord. But oftentimes what that looks like practically is that we trust him last. And by trust him, I really mean we run out of options and we're at his mercy. We're really like, we try to do everything. We follow all the systems. We do everything we can that we know that we're supposed to do. And then at the end, we're like, well, I've done everything I can. So now it's just in the Lord's hands. I'm trusting the Lord for it. No, you're not. You're not trusting the Lord. You have a wish that what you need is going to be fulfilled, but you haven't trusted him from point A to point Z. Because trust looks different than doing all of this stuff on my own and then hoping beyond hope, not a biblical hope, but a wish that God's going to show up. To trust him means that I go to him first and I'm dependent on him. In our culture, we don't like to be dependent on things. And I think even as a parent, most of us would say we want to raise independent children who make good decisions. I would suggest that we counter that term, that we change what we say. We don't want to raise independent children who make good decisions. We want to raise children who are fully 100% dependent upon the Lord to make their decisions. We want our children to learn how to be children of God and not independent orphans. We don't want our children to trust in their own decisions because they've learned something. We want them to trust in the Heavenly Father and what he says because they have learned dependency on him. Right? The best decisions my kids can make are God-centered decisions, even if I don't agree with them, even if I don't like them. Does that make sense? It's the same way with us. We in America especially, we are so full of this idea of independence. We celebrate it. We champion it. And it has literally become the core of who we are. And I'm not saying that all independence is wrong. What I am saying is the way that we live our life, when we are independent, we are living our life based on myself, on my own opinions. I am reliant on myself. Let me read the definition. Here. Independence means to not be influenced or controlled by others in matters of opinion, conduct, etc., thinking or acting for oneself, not subject to another's authority or jurisdiction, autonomous and free, not influenced by thought or action of others, not dependent, not depending or contingent upon something else for existence or operation. The synonyms for this are on one's own, free-spirited, unrestrained, individualistic, being a maverick, self-sufficient, self-supporting, self-sustaining, self-reliant, self-contained. Our culture champions this. Kingdom does not. When you start seeing a lot of the words and synonyms that are self, that's not kingdom. We should not be self-supporting or self-sustaining or self-reliant or self-sufficient. We should be actually, and the truth is that we are completely dependent upon the Lord for our existence, right? We're completely dependent upon the Lord for everything. As believers, we're also completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit for our operation, which means the way that we do things, for the way that we think, for the way that we speak, for the way that we talk. We should be completely dependent upon him. When we live in an independent mindset, we are living in an orphan mindset. And the truth is that we were born as orphans. We weren't born into the kingdom. We were born as orphans, and so we grew up learning that we had to manage ourselves, that we had to be in charge of ourselves, that we had to take care of ourselves. And it doesn't mean if you came, I don't mean like you only came from bad homes. I'm saying even in a great home, even it, like our culture alone teaches us this. But beyond that, we were born in sin. And sin separates us from the Father. And so we don't think that we can go to him because we don't know him. And so we grow up learning that the only person who can take care of me and who's going to love me like I need and who's going to meet my needs is me. And so how many of us have even said those types of things? Well, I just learned today that I can't trust anybody. I can only trust myself. I'm the only one who can take care of my problems. I can't rely on anybody else. You know, we've all said, like we've said these things, we've felt these things in our core, and we feel like that a lot of times with God. We were like, what, we've been asking you for help and you haven't shown up, so I guess I have to do it myself. You know, that's how we respond. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? This is a scripture verse I have had memorized for many, many years from the time I was young. And I love this scripture. This is one of those that you go to and you're like, I have a promise here. I have a promise that you're going to meet my needs. I have a promise that you're going to show up. I have a promise that you're going to actually talk to me. But there have been many times where I have been looking for the Lord for answers. I've been looking for the Lord, to the Lord, for things in my life that aren't going in the way that I know that they're supposed to be. And I'm looking at the scripture and I'm looking at my circumstances and I'm like, it's not lining up. How do I trust you when you're not doing what your word says you're supposed to do? You said that when I knock, you're going to open the door. And when I ask, you're going to give it to me. And when I seek for you, I'm going to find you. But I'm not finding you, and I've been looking for you for a long time. I'm not finding the answers, and I've been looking for the answers for a really long time. I was in one of those moments a while ago. And when I was preparing for this on Sunday, the Lord told me to go back. And a lot of times what I do is when I'm in a hard situation, I will pull out my computer. I type faster than I write. So for some of you guys, you'll want to pull out your paper. But I write down my questions to the Lord because sometimes I can ask him that and I don't feel like I get anywhere. But when I write them down, it's like I put them on paper and then I hear the Holy Spirit response. And so I just start typing. So I type my question and I just keep typing his answers to me. And I was rereading that. I felt like the Holy Spirit had told me to go back and to read this particular situation. And his response to me when I was like, I was asking him for direction on something. Like, I need to know how to respond to this situation. And I wasn't hearing anything. And so I wrote it down. And I'm like, I need to know what to do. And his response to me was not what I had expected it to be. His answer to my problem was this. I need to know. So I'm asking him for a direction. I need to know what to put my hand to next. I need to know how to respond to this situation. Okay? And his response to me was this. What you need to know this morning is that you have isolated yourself from my intimacy. When life gets hard for you, you back up. Your response should be pressing in. You're in a battle, and I need you prepared and not sleeping through it. Don't give the enemy much attention. He's not worth it. I am worth your full attention. He answered me. When I sought him, he answered me. It was not the answer I was hoping for. And I was like, really? Now you want me to work on me? Like, I'm trying to work on this situation, and you're talking to me about me. You know, but what he was doing was he was defining an indicator light. We talked last week about when we're driving our car and things come up on the dash where we should probably pay attention to them. So things like, hey, you're getting low on gas. Or things like, hey, your oil is having a problem. Or the heat gauge goes crazy. Those types of things are indicators. They're telling us something's happening. And for us as people, their feelings, they show up as feelings. Our indicators are feelings. So I'm sitting here having this conversation and I don't feel like I know what to do. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit for something and he's going, let me explain this indicator that's been going off in your heart for a while. But his direction was to answer my question. But first he had to get through my heart, right? So he had to take me on a little bit of a journey first to heal my heart so that then I could have a direction. Because without the healing of my heart, he couldn't give me the full direction. So his first response to me was, you've backed up for me and you've broken intimacy. And I'm going to stop there for a second, because an independent mindset is a place where we begin to break intimacy with Father God because of something, because we don't trust him. The core of that is fear, okay? Orphans grew up learning that they could only trust themselves. They were the only ones who they could rely on. They had to be self-reliant. We move into the kingdom, and the Father God comes in, and he's amazing, right? That's what dads do when they adopt their children. They come in, and they are amazing. Like they come in, and they are fully present, fully available. They want to help your needs. They want to be around. They want to pull you in close. They want to hug you and to hug away and to care for your brokenness. But an orphan does this to their dad because they don't trust him yet. They have to learn that he's trustworthy. So they've been in the home for a while. They're starting to maybe, they've allowed themselves to become children of God, to say it like this. But then that's as far as we'll let the Father God. We won't let him any closer because we don't really know if he's trustworthy. The Bible says we should trust him. But my circumstances, sometimes they make me feel like I can't. And I trust, most of us obey our feelings over the word of God, which is out of balance. Our feelings are indicators of a problem. We need to find the truth about what's going on inside of us with those feelings. The word of God is something that we obey without regard of our feelings. We press into the word of God and we make our feelings, we research what's happening with our feelings. If we're out of gas, we need to fill up. If there's a broken spot and there's a warning going off, we need to heal it. We need to fix it. We need to go to the Lord and say, hey, there's a broken spot in me. I can't trust you. Can you help me fix this? I'm scared of you. You're not, I've prayed and I haven't felt like you've answered me. And now I don't know if I can come to you anymore. Can you fix this? That's how our response should be. But most of the time as orphans, we just do this. And we keep them out here. And there's, I was telling First Service, there's an illustration of Sean and I's marriage in the beginning when we've been married 22 years and with that, like in the first few years, he naturally understood healthy relationships in a way that I can't really fathom, but I didn't understand them and I did not respond well at all under pressure. And so I would say I was probably the worst passive person you've ever met in your life. So Sean's like, how you doing today? I'm like, I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm perfect. I'm fine. You know, and he's like, hey, where do you want to go to eat? And I'm like, I don't care, wherever you want to go. And he would be like, well, do you want a genre? And I'm like, nope, I'm good. Just take me somewhere. Well, I might want something. And secretly inside, I'm like, ooh, I'd really like to go to that Italian place. That sounds amazing. And, you know, but I'm not going to tell him that. Okay, because I'm passive, and so I just want to make him happy, and so I don't tell him, and so he's like, well, let's go get pizza tonight, and I'm like, that's not Italian, you know, and I'm like, okay, let's go get pizza tonight, you know, and does that make sense? And so then when conflict would happen, and he would want to go, he's like, hey, let's go this direction, and I'm like, sometimes I would say, well, I don't really feel comfortable with that, and he's like, well, why not? And I'm like, I don't know, and he's like, give me something. Like, he's super logical, so he's like, give me some reasons. And I'm like, I have no reasons. I just don't feel comfortable with it. But whatever you want to do, I'm fine. I'll just support you. You're my husband, right? I just support you. You get to be responsible for the Lord, which is not the right way to manage relationships, but let me just say that's an old school mindset, right? You know, I should be working with Sean, and I should be showing up fully. But I should not be completely submitting myself under him and never give him anything. Like, that's not a healthy relationship. So Sean was left to make all the decisions. But what would happen inside of me was I was getting irritated with that. So one day, this happened several times, 6 months after my last explosion, my passivity ran out, and I got really mad. and he came in, said something innocent, and I, which is typical of a passive person, they stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff until one day it can't stuff, and then it comes roaring out. And so I'm screaming at Sean. He's never screamed at me. Not a day in our marriage has he ever screamed at me. I am screaming, red face, tears running down my face, snot everywhere. I'm like, ah, you know, you're so mean to me. For 6 months you've been mean. And he's like, what are you talking about, woman? Like, you know, and I list off all these things, and he's like, why haven't you talked to me about it? And, you know, and he's like, you told me it was fine. Like, you said you were in agreement with the decision. I'm like, but I told you I was concerned about it, and you didn't listen. You know, and it's just a mess, okay? I am creating distance right here. What I should be doing in my marriage is stepping into trust with him and having a conversation that's right and healthy. But instead, I'm creating distance, right? So inside of me, what's actually happening? And at some point, I did, in tears, scream this at him as well. Seriously, it was not pretty. I was not beautiful in those moments. You know, inside of me, what is screaming back is, I just want you to move past my anger and my pain and just to come up and give me a great big hug and tell me you still love me. I knew I was being ugly and that I was not responding in a healthy manner. But in that moment, I didn't even understand that I could control my emotions. And so I am like pushing him away, but inside, everything in me is begging him to come across this and to meet me where I need. And I needed a hug, and I needed to know that his love was going to push past this. We've all been there. Different ways. It looks different for each situation, you know. But let me tell you something, like a secret here. The Holy Spirit, or I should say the Holy Spirit, Jesus already did that. Jesus literally pushed past that. And on his walk to the cross alone, he had people spitting in his face and ripping out his beard and torturing him. And they were doing everything to push him away. And he just loved them to death, literally. Guys, he heals the broken heart. He heals the orphan mindset. He teaches us in that moment that he is a really good father, because Jesus only did what the Father was doing. So if we saw Jesus doing it, that's exactly who the Father is. He represented him on earth. So our orphan mindset is, I have to do this on my own. I really just need you to hug me and tell me you love me, and I'm pushing you away because I don't know how to get close to you because I'm scared and I don't know if I can trust you. And Jesus is like, I've already done it. I've already pushed past this, and I've already come in, and I've already embraced you, and I love you. You can trust me. In the same way, I could trust Sean, and if I had just had, honestly, a mature conversation with him, we wouldn't have had those moments. But I didn't know that. We were developing that trust relationship, and honestly, what he couldn't meet that need for me. And the reason why, it wasn't because he was a bad husband, it was because he wasn't God. I needed the Father to show up, and I needed my identity to be fixed before the Lord, before I could accept it from my husband, right? Because he can't meet those deep needs, because he's a person, and I need the Father God to meet those deep needs, right? You know, when we search for another person to meet those needs and to make us feel loved and valued and cared for and everything, like if we want to be the apple of the other person's eye, we're out of sync and we're pulling and sucking stuff from them they can never give us. The only person who we need to know we're the apple of their eye of is Father God. And he's already displayed that through his relationship with Jesus Christ and him showing up and pushing past our anger and our pain and our frustration and our fears. And he's died on the cross for us. And then he came back as a Father God to love us. You know, we can trust him. The other day we were driving, I don't know, a year ago, I don't know, time, I don't know what time is. We were driving, and Josiah, we were going to church, so I think it was before Josiah went to school, so it had to be about a year ago. And he had this weird, he still does it now, like, we drive from our house through the bypass, and we come to church. Like, that's our routine every single day, unless we have to go to, like, Walmart, and so then we make, you know, the route. But every day he would ask us, are we taking the short way home? I don't know what the short way is. There's only one way, really, from the church to our house. It's if we're going from the church home, we're going one way. There's one road. There's a few others, but they take forever, and so we always go the short way. Well, we found out the short way is the way that we always go. So we're driving to church one day, and at the beginning, Josiah had asked, are we going to go the short way? And I said, yeah. And so I don't know what he was doing for 10 minutes or so on the road. Like, he must have been zoned out. He looks up as we're about 5 minutes out from the church and bursts into tears. So I'm driving along, everything's peaceful, and the next thing I know, this kid is crying in the backseat, wah! You know, and I'm like, what is happening back there? Like, and he's like, you said we're going the short way. We're not going the short way. And I'm looking around, and I'm like, buddy, we're going the short way. No, we're not. You know, we're not going the short way. You said we were going to go the short way, and we don't. And he's just, and I'm like, I promise you, we're going the short way. I told you we were going the short way. I'm not going to lie to you. We're going the short way. And he is just, he's not having it. He's convinced that we're not. And so I just kind of go quiet because I'm like, cry all you want. I can't fix this problem. I've tried to explain it to you. I've tried to reason with you. I have tried to explain to you that we're going the short way. Like, you're not listening. You're not trusting me. You're just in your own head. And so I'm like, just quiet. I'm like, okay, we're going to just keep going and you're going to cry. So he cries. We get all the way to the roundabout and he goes, oh, we did go the short way. And I was like, yeah, buddy. We went the short way. I told you we were going the short way. And he was like, oh, okay. And I'm like, what is happening back there? You know? But guys, this is what we do. Like, we're going through life. And as orphans, like we're like this orphan mindset, we're going through life and we're not really paying attention to what's happening. And then suddenly, and we have promises from the Lord. We have promises and words from the Lord. And suddenly we look up and we look around at our surroundings and we don't recognize anything in our surroundings. And we're like, this does not look like what you promised me. Like, nothing in my world right now looks like it's supposed to look. You didn't tell me the truth. You aren't taking me the short way to my destination. What's happened? And we freak out with the Lord. And he's like, it's the short way. Like, and you're like, no, it's not. And we sit there and we get so upset with the Lord. And then we turn the corner and we go, oops, I was wrong. You know, we do that with the Lord so often, you know, like we're like, you said we were going to be here and this is not the direction. I know the way and it's not right. But here's the thing, that pain that happened is orphan mindset. It's just an indicator on our dashboard that says, hey, something's wrong here. I should be paying, like, what's happening inside of me? I know, like, the truth is that Josiah knew that he could trust me. Like, I don't lie to him. You know, like if he asks, I mean, let's be honest, if he asks me if Santa Claus is real, I'm going to have a conversation with who St. Nicholas was and that he's now dead. And we've had that conversation. Careful. I know that touches some toes here. I'm sorry. I will not lie to my children. Amen. For any reason. I might tell them they need to wait for some of the details. I might tell them that I don't want to have the conversation, but I will not tell them something that's not true. I love my children. And I want them to be able to trust me, you know? And so what this looks like on the orphan side is we go through life and we're sitting there and our situations are happening around us and we don't understand them. And we're like, God, why aren't you showing up for me? Like, what is happening? Why are we going this way? You didn't promise me this way. You told me we were going to get here. And I'm freaking out because I don't know that I can actually trust him. I've forgotten. And the reason is because we have been taught that to be a mature adult means that need to be independent. And so we go through our life and we do everything that we know that we're supposed to do. And we use God at the very end when we say we can trust him when everything else fails. What it looks like to be dependent children in kingdom is to actually, it's the upside down kingdom, right? It's everything looks opposite in the kingdom. We actually should grow down into dependency. We need to step out of the independent mindset and grow back down into dependency like a child and become childlike in this. Okay? God doesn't get annoyed with us when we're like, hey, look at me. Hey, look at me. Hey, look at me. Hey, look at me. Oh, this wasn't so great. Let me do it again. Let me do it again, Dad. Oh, hold on a second. Let me do it again. That's what my child does. He does flips over the couch. And he's like, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. And I'm like, I got to cook dinner. I can't watch you again. I have to actually, like, I have to concentrate. Like, I have to measure certain ingredients. And that's not who God is. He multitasks really well with each one of us. He can be fully invested in you. And he wants to be. And you know what? This is the other thing. When it comes to the details of our life, he wants us to come and ask him. He wants us to be like, how do you want me to handle the situation? The situation happens and I don't respond and try to work it out, even in the godly systems that I know from the Bible. Instead, I run straight to him and I go, hey, what's your game plan? What are you doing? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond to this, Dad? Okay, I got it. Does that make sense? This is what dependency looks like. Healthy dependency on the Lord is running to him and going, I'm not going to move or say a word until I hear from you. That might be crazy over there, and they might be demanding my attention right now, but right now I need to hear from you. And once I hear from you, then I can make an adjustment, and I can make a decision, and I can walk with you. Independency looks like craziness is happening, and I'm over here frantically trying to do this, and I'm like, God, I need you in here. Can you just come and help me clean up this mess? You know, like, how many of us have had a child vomiting all over, like, one of mine decided to vomit inside the sink. Like, no, I'm sorry, the drawer. The sink would have been great, but it was inside their toothbrush drawer. Yeah. So I'm like, Sean! And then he comes in. I mean, it's everywhere. And he starts to walk through the door, and I'm like, stop! Are you going to add to the mess, or are you going to help me? And he's like, I think I'm good. And I'm like, okay, like, I need help. And so, like, all craziness is happening. And I'm like, I got a kid, like, everything's coming out of them. And I've got this disaster. It's just, you know, it's so gross. And so one of us has to bathe that child, and the other one has to start cleaning. You know, and like, and in our frantic, what we're doing is we're like, we need you in here, God. And he's like, I'm right here, but actually I need you over here for a minute. And he calls us out into a place called peace. And he says, okay, this is what I need. I need you to be the one who washes the kid, and I'm going to start cleaning up the mess. That's what dependency looks like. It's relationship, where I go to him first, and I'm like, how should we clean this up? This was a great big mess that just happened. How do I clean this up? This is what it looks like to stay in a dependent relationship with the Lord, because we're not self-sufficient. We don't know what we're doing. We don't. I screw up all the time when I try to do things on my own, because I'm not meant or made to do things on my own. I'm made to do things with God. But I can only do that when I trust him and I'm willing to let him in. Does that make sense? We have to be willing to let him in. We have to run to him and say, I need your help. I don't know how to respond to this situation. And your word says, you get back to this in Matthew, it says that when I ask, it's going to be given to me. So let me rephrase it. I don't know if it really means this in the Bible, like, and by the, you know, Greek and all that stuff. I haven't researched it. But let me just say this. He's going to give me an answer. When I ask, he's going to respond. Doesn't mean that he's going to give me what I want. It means he's going to respond. You know? And here's the thing. So many of us have asked, but we're asking over here in the frantic and in the crazy, and we're not listening. We're just begging for him to come in and give us a great big hug, but we just need to take a minute and to stop going, I'm not independent. I don't have to do this on my own. I can stop. And something over here means I can step into peace and go, I don't have to do this on my own, Daddy. How do you want me to respond? How do you want me to clean this up? Give me some direction here. Because when I'm caught over here in the frantic and I'm going through everything and I'm screaming for help, he's right there, but we can't hear him, we can't see him, we don't even know that he's there. Have you ever seen a kid climb a tree and they get stuck? We had this happen just the other day and at the picnic, actually. And he was up there and he got stuck and he's trying to get his feet underneath him and he couldn't quite do it. He had a good grip on the branch, but he wasn't feeling safe. And when I got to him, he wasn't my child, when I got to him, and I'm talking to him, but he knows me well. And he was at this place where he was frantic. He couldn't hear me. He could see me, but he couldn't comprehend anything I had to say to him. And so at some point, I finally got him calmed down enough to say, just drop here on my shoulder. You're okay. I got you. And I was able to pull him down from the tree. and to get him to his dad. When we're over here in this orphan mindset of independence and we're frantic and we're screaming for help, he's right there talking to us, but we're in this crazy place where we can't stop and breathe and see him. We can't comprehend that he's there. It's a broken spot in us. It's a place that we have to go back and say, okay, God, how did I get to that place? How did I move into kingdom and this part hasn't caught up with health yet? What place still needs to grow and be developed and healed in me so that when craziness breaks out, I don't enter into it with them. I can step out and be fully dependent on you and then go back in with your peace as a peacemaker. Does that make sense? Okay, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit some questions. Last week we talked about this. Every week I'm going to be asking you guys to talk to the Holy Spirit because this is how we heal. When we recognize it, when we recognize that we have a flash, like a light going off on our indicator, we have to go, I have feelings that don't line up with the word of God, so what's going on, Holy Spirit? The only way I heal is to actually acknowledge them. What happens if we ignore the lights on our dashboard in our car? We learned this last week from my example. You run out of gas. You got problems. Your engine explodes. There's a problem, okay? So when we have emotions that happen, they're indicators. Pay attention. Something's going on. You need to look deeper into what's happening on the inside so that you can fix it, so that you can move forward into health, right? So that's what these questions do. We go to the Father because the Father has the answers. When I was struggling with an answer, his response to me was, you've isolated yourself from me. You've backed up. I can't get answers from him very well if I'm keeping him way over here, right? I've got to move in. And so to break into that, we have to choose to come in close to the Holy Spirit and go, okay, Papa God, what do you want me to do? How do I respond to this? How do I react? Like something's going on in my heart and I'm scared of you. I have some deep trust issues with you. I don't feel like you've shown up in several places of my life and it's hurt me to the core. And I don't know how to trust you. That's a great place to start. It's a really great place to start. You're being honest and vulnerable, and then you're asking him, help me out here. Show me where to go. And his answer might not be the exact response that you think you're going to get, but he is answering you in what you need. So let's close our eyes and just ask the Holy Spirit these questions. I'm going to read them off pretty quick. Find the question that fits your heart. You're going to find a question that you can identify with really good, and just ask him. Just meditate on it. So, Holy Spirit, what's going on in my heart that makes me not be able to trust you? Why do I doubt your goodness and faithfulness towards me? Why do I pull back from you and choose to live independently from you when I know that you've called me to be dependent upon you? Why do I believe that I can only trust myself? What lies do I believe about you that are producing fear and a lack of trust in my heart? Why do I pull away from you when I need to run to you instead? So Holy Spirit, just thank you for your truth. You live in us. And in Psalms, it says that your thoughts for us are like the sands of the sea, God. You are always thinking about us. You love us so much. We are one together, God. You live in me and I live in you, it says in John 15. And so, Jesus, we just say, you are right here with me. And we just thank you for that, God. You're right here. And God, I also know that you are right here for me to step into your presence. God, I just recognize that the first place that I can break this orphan mindset is to step boldly into your presence and to stay there in your presence, Father God. So I choose to step into your presence, Jesus. I choose to step into your presence, Father God, and I say, I want to develop a deep trust in you. I don't want to try to run to you after I've tried to fix everything, God. I want to trust you from the very beginning. I don't want to be pulled to and fro where my emotions run me so much and so then I just have nothing left and I come to you, God. I want to come to you immediately upon pain in my life and to hear your game plan and to run with your game plan, Jesus. Can you fix the broken spots in me? Would you heal me, God? And in any area that I need to forgive you because I don't feel like you've shown up, God, I recognize that the truth of it is you always show up. If I didn't understand that you were good, God, in my situation, yeah, would you show me how you were good? And would you show me how you're working it out, God? I choose to trust you today. And I choose to ask you to forgive me for the times I have not trusted you and I have made a huge mess. Father God, I want to break out of this orphan mindset. I want to move into what it looks like to be a true son and a true daughter in you. God, I want to know how to be fully at peace and fully confident and fully secure in you at all times and in all situations, God. Yeah. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to contact us or would like more information about our church or additional podcasts or resources, please visit us online at harvestwarrensburg.com. We hope to see you soon.